Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to see all of you. Mr. McKinney introduced me as someone who needs no introduction. Someone referred to me as that dude today, since I've not been around that much, but that's all good. We will be around much more in the next few months and looking forward to spending much more time with all of you. I want to say hello to those on Zoom, and David, thank you for the special music. All three of our boys learned an instrument, and I still remember the hours of practice and the notes that were off and what it took to even get somewhat proficient, and that was amazing. Thank you for giving that today. And I want to also thank Alex for setting all the technical to get this slideshow working, to get the Zoom working, to get the video working, that from Lauren. So thank you very much. It takes a lot of effort to make it all work, and it works seamlessly. So thank you for that as well. So we live in a world that's constantly moving. People rush through airport terminals, and I've seen that recently with the number of trips I've taken, or they scroll endlessly on their cell phones, or switch careers, or relocate cities, and seemingly jump from one idea to another. We're busy. But with that busyness comes unsettledness, insecurity. And sometimes we're so busy that we're actually unhappy. An article that discusses this current activity is found in Cross Labs, The Age of Information Overload by Olaf Witowski, July 6, 2025. And I'd like to read from this as an introduction to this message. Scroll, snack, repeat. We live in a time of information abundance. It has become as plentiful and as carefully engineered to exploit our every weakness as modern processed foods. The more content is optimized to manipulate our attention, the more our cognitive patterns are hijacked. Digital platforms are not only distracting, they reshape what we pay attention to and how we think. The same cognitive patterns that once helped us survive by seeking vital free energy and novelty now keep us locked in cycles of endless scrolling, techno-stress, and mental malnutrition. Worse, the more these systems optimize to capture our engagement, the harder it becomes to find truthful, nourishing ideas for the growth of humanity. The portion of the article I just read notes that despite incredible access to information, the abundance comes at a cognitive cost, and it affects our reasoning and our thinking. Digital platforms are designed to get people's attention, leading many into cycles of constant scrolling and distraction, leaving them mentally overstimulated, but intellectually undernourished. Beyond this, the sheer volume of ideas and narratives make it harder to discern truth, as meaningful content is often buried between the noise that is being optimized for engagement. Olaf Witowski ultimately warns that without intentional discernment, humanity risks confusing constant stimulation with understanding, and risks confusing the abundance of information and data with insight. When we consider the modern explosion of knowledge, we cannot help but think of Daniel 12, verse 4. Daniel 12, verse 4, where it says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Now, Daniel chapter 12 opens up to a long and troubling vision comes as a conclusion to a long and troubling vision, one filled with wars, shifting empires, persecution, and deep moral confusion. And leading up to verse 4, the text makes it clear that those called by God will live through difficult and turbulent times. The future is not portrayed as calm or orderly, but is marked by distress, movement, and uncertainty. Yet in this turbulence, scriptures emphasize that history is not random. God remains sovereign. God remains attentive. God remains purposeful, watching over events as they unfold according to his plan. Against this backdrop, Daniel 12:4 introduces the phrase, to and fro. The language captures the restless motion of humanity as it searches for answers in chaotic times. This movement suggests urgency, but inquiry against the rapid spread of ideas. But it does not guarantee either wisdom or truth. Knowledge may increase, but discernment remains essential. The verse points to a world in frenetic motion, yet under the watchful eye of God, where prophecy unfolds not through human striving, but through God's timing and revelation. Today's message centers specifically on the biblical expression to and fro found in Scripture, and its significance in Scripture. For those who would like a title, it is Prophecy in Motion, To and Fro, Searching, Roaming, and Watching. As we begin this message, I'd like to point out that although the word prophecy is often associated with the foretelling of the future, the Bible presents it more broadly. And in this context, the word is being used in this title. To help frame this message, consider the definition of prophecy from What is Prophecy? Bible Meaning and Examples from Prophecy from Christianity.com. It states, the term prophecy in the Bible encapsulates the divine communication of God's will, often foretelling future events, and we know that. We understand that. Or conveying messages of moral and spiritual significance. As the title suggests, we will explore three central themes revealed through the phrase to and fro. The first is human searching, as we've seen in Daniel 12, verse 4. The second is Satan roaming. And finally, God's watchfulness. So before we begin discussing these three themes, let's look at the phrase to and fro and its meaning in Hebrew. The verb behind the phrase to and fro has as its root the Hebrew word shoot. And Strong's exhaustive concordance defines it as a primitive root properly to push forth, but used only figuratively, to lash the sea with oars, to row by implication, to travel, to go about, through, to and fro, mariner, rower, run to and fro. The King James Version translates Strong's shoot in the following manner. Run to and fro 6 times, go to and fro 2 times, go about 1 time, gone 1 time, mariners 1 time, rowers 1 time, and go through 1 time. So let's go back now to the first theme that I would like to cover in this message, the phrase to and fro as it relates to humanity searching, and specifically looking again at the word shoot. The Hebrew word shoot, as it found in Daniel 12, verse 4. The word shoot, as found in Daniel 12, 4, has often been associated with increased movement in the end times, sometimes interpreted as a rise in global activity or travel. Yet the verse places greater emphasis on the expansion of knowledge. The phrase, many shall run to and fro, can be therefore understood not only as physical movement, but as a restless searching of the mind, an intellectual and spiritual running back and forth in pursuit of answers. As information multiplies, and people scan, and compare, and question, and consume ideas at an unprecedented pace, this mental motion, these mental gymnastics, unfortunately, do not lead to the truth, do not always lead to the truth. In this sense, the prophecy speaks powerfully to an age where knowledge increases, but clarity does not necessarily follow, highlighting a world mentally in motion rather than one marked by just mere faster travel or abundance of travel. The word for knowledge here is doth, and the outline of biblical knowledge usage defines this word as knowledge, perception, skill, discernment, understanding, wisdom. Da'ath can refer broadly to knowledge in general, including learning, awareness, and understanding across many areas. In that sense, it's flexible enough to include an overall increase in knowledge. However, the word itself implies comprehension and discernment, not just the intake of raw ideas or isolated facts. It is knowledge that is grasped, not merely stored. In the context of this scripture, it can be inferred that people will be intensely interested in understanding the prophecy of Daniel. The opening of the book, as it knows, it's sealed in verse 4. During the end times, because of the terrifying events that are taking place. The enduring word commentary makes the following comments with regard to Daniel 4 and the word knowledge. Many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall increase. Here Daniel describes a characteristic of the time of the end. Many take this prediction as being fulfilled in the travel, run to and fro, in information explosions, knowledge shall increase, of our modern age. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. This more the idea of searching after knowledge rather than the rapid forms of transportation. And the idea is that people would run about trying to find answers to important questions, especially in reference to future events. What's going on around them? They're trying to figure it out. And the correct sense is that many shall search it through and through, and as a consequence, the knowledge of the book itself, the knowledge of the book of Daniel, shall be increased. To and fro is also mentioned in the book of Amos. Amos 8, verse 12. Amos 8, verse 12. And I'd like to read from the English Standard Version. It states in Amos 8, verse 12, they shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Prior to this verse, the verses in Amos 8 portray Israel at the limit of God's patience, using the vision of a basket of summer fruit to signal that the nation is ripe for just judgment. The prophet denounces economic exploitation, empty worship, and the disregard of the poor, declaring that God will not forget such sins. Images of mourning, darkness, and upheaval emphasize the severity of what's coming, culminating of a warning of a famine, but not of food, but of hearing the word of God. leading up to Amos 8, verse 12, where people search desperately for God's message and find none. Amos 8, verse 12 describes the tragic consequence of God's judgment announced in the preceding verses. People will wander desperately in search of the word from the Lord, but will not find it. The verse portrays widespread spiritual disorientation as individuals travel from sea to sea, from north to east, emphasizing both the intensity and the futility of their search. And this imagery highlights how access to divine revelation, once readily available through the prophets, has been withdrawn because it was persistently ignored and despised. The verse underscores a profound reversal. Those who once rejected God's word are now trying to seek it, but it's too late. Amos 8:12 serves as a warning about the cost of spiritual complacency and injustice, and shows that the absence of God's word itself is a severe form of judgment. The books of Daniel and Amos both use the phrase to and fro with regard to human searching. The contrast to these uses is significant. In Amos, people run to and fro because truth is scarce. In Daniel, they run to and fro because truth is unfolding. One depicts divine silence as judgment, and the other as divine discourse as fulfillment. Yet both portray humanity in motion, restless, searching, driven by deep need for meaning beyond themselves. Linked together, Amos 12 and Daniel 8:12 and Daniel 12:4 present two sides of the same spiritual reality. The human drive to seek, to search, to find God's word. Our journey as people of God is not comprised of running to and fro. We understand that we are to be separate from the society around us, though we are to live in it. We are to be grounded in the faith, to be an example, to be a light of God working through us. Humanity around us may be going to and fro, but as God's people, we are not. We can see this in the following scripture. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4, verse 14. And once again, I'd like to read from the English Standard Version, where it states, "So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes." Leading up to Ephesians 4:14, Paul explains that Jesus Christ gave apostles, and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip believers and to build up the church towards unity and spiritual maturity. His warning about being tossed to and fro follows this, showing that without growth, that without being grounded, and without sound teaching, believers are vulnerable to confusion and to deception from every idea or doctrine. In Ephesians 4, verse 14, the idea translated as to and fro comes primarily from the following Greek words, which I will not pronounce. To first is to be carried about, swept around, or moved in various directions. And the second, to be tossed by waves, creating a vivid picture of instability. Humanity searching. Together, these words describe believers being mentally and spiritually moved around by shifting ideas and teaching rather than being firmly grounded in the truth. We are not to be tossed to and fro, as it also can be seen in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. And it states in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8, keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. It's a direct request. It is seeking truth through God. We see in this verse that we are to seek and to ask and to not wandering to and fro, but being persistent, trusting in God and seeking God's presence in our lives. In Amos and Daniel, to and fro mentions and describes an intense but often a fruitless search for truth during times of moral confusion and unfolding prophecy. People scan everywhere for trying to understand what is going on, to try to find peace, reflecting humanity's deep longing to make sense of a chaotic world. Yet they fail to find what truly satisfies. In Ephesians, Paul uses to and fro as a warning. Believers can become spiritually unstable, tossed to and fro by false teaching due to lack of spiritual maturity and discernment. While Amos and Daniel highlight the human quest for truth, and Ephesians highlights the danger of instability without discernment, both show that such restless movement ultimately leads to trouble. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8, reframes the search altogether by pointing the right posture and direction. Seeking that is anchored in trust and obedience to God. Rather than restless wandering or unstable drifting, Jesus presents seeking as purposeful, as fruitful, where those who ask, seek, and knock do so in confidence that God will respond with truth and not confusion. This leads me to the second theme with regard to the phrase to and fro, Satan roaming. The Bible shows that Satan also goes to and fro. And we're familiar with it. Turn to Job 1, verse 7. Job 1, verse 7. Job 1, verse 7. And I like to read from the English Standard Version. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth, walking up and down on it." In the verses following chapter 1:7, Satan first challenges Job's righteousness and allows God to test Job by taking away his wealth and the lives of his children. Then we come to Job 2, verse 2. And it states, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where have you come?' Satan answered the Lord and said," once again, "from going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down on it." We find that in the verses following Job 2, Satan reports back to God, and God permits him to afflict Job's health while still sparing his life. In the book of Job, to and fro appears in Satan's own words as he stands before the Lord. When asked when he has come back from, Satan replies that he's been going to and fro on the earth, walking up and down. This movement portrays restless roaming rather than purposeful seeking. His roaming is not only a curiosity, but it's an accusation, looking for grounds to challenge human integrity. In Job's case, this searching leads directly to Satan's claim that righteousness is conditional, setting the stage for testing that follows. The phrase emphasizes Satan's limited agency. He moves widely, but it's always under the boundaries set by God. Unlike humanity's searching for truth, Satan's movement reflects surveillance, intrusion, and opposition within God's created order. We can see this characteristic of Satan in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Where it states, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. This scripture parallels closely with what we read in Job, portraying Satan as restless, as roaming, watchful, predatory. Yet, we have no fear of Satan's roaming, of Satan being a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. John 10, verses 27 to 28. John 10, verses 27 to 28. And I'd like to read from the New International Version. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them. No one will snatch them out of my hand." John 10, verses 27 to 28 presents a contrast between restless, destructive searching and secure belonging. Jesus describes his followers as sheep who recognize and respond to his voice, emphasizing intimacy and guidance and trust. But also, it affirms that he knows them. He knows us. He knows what we're going through. Unlike Satan's roaming to and fro in a predatory search to find weakness, Christ's authority is marked by preservation and care. He offers eternal life and guarantees that his sheep will never perish. This assurance underscores any opposing power is ultimately constrained. No one can snatch believers. No one can snatch believers from Christ's hand, revealing God's sovereign protection as the final and decisive reality. This leads me to the third theme of the phrase to and fro found in Scripture, and that's God's watchfulness. God's watchfulness. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. And here it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, for now you will have wars." In Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 16:9, this is spoken, what the words here are spoken by Hanani the seer to King Asa of Judah, after Asa chose to rely on an alliance with Syria rather than trust in the Lord when threatened by Israel, the nation of Israel. Although Asa's plan succeeded politically, it revealed a failure of faith, prompting Hanani to remind him that God actively searches the earth to strengthen those who are devoted to him. The verse highlights a tragic contrast between God's willingness to act on Asa's behalf and Asa's decision to depend on human power instead. 2 Chronicles 16:9 presents a picture of God's active and all-seeing involvement in the world through the phrase, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." This imagery emphasizes God's continual movement, awareness, and purposeful searching, not passive observation. The idea of to and fro conveys that God's constantly scanning all places, all situations, seeking those hearts who are devoted to him. God actively acts for and responds to opportunities to strengthen and support those who trust him. In this way, the motion of to and fro underscores God's sovereignty and his desire for a responsive in faithful relationship with his people. Another example of the phrase to and fro used in light of God watching is found in Zechariah 4, verse 10. Zechariah 4, verse 10. Now, Zechariah 4 opens with the vision of the golden lampstand fed by two olive trees, symbolizing God's spirit, sustaining and rebuilding of the temple under Zerubbabel. The angel explains that the work will be accomplished not by human strength, but by God's spirit, encouraging perseverance in spite of obstacles. And God assures that even small efforts matter and will lead to completion in chapter 4, verse 7. Leading to verse 10 of chapter 4, where it states, "For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." So what does this verse communicate? It's literal context. Zerubbabel was tasked to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem after the exile. And the work seems small, seems slow and insignificant compared to the grandeur of Solomon's temple. The people around may have been discouraged and mocking, and they also mocked the effort and doubted that it would succeed. The spiritual principle: God reassures that small beginnings are not worthless. Every step done in obedience to him, even seemingly minor, is seen by God as part of the larger plan. The small things are often the first visible signs of God's work, which will grow into something great. And finally, God's perspective. The message emphasized that God is actively watching. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, meaning what may appear insignificant to humans is fully known and valued by God. Even humble, faithful actions contribute to his purposes and ultimately will result in rejoicing and completion. So what other scriptures point to the idea that God is always watching? Proverbs 15, verse 3. Proverbs 15, verse 3. Where it states, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." And Proverbs 15, verse 3 teaches that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, watching both the evil and the good. Like the to and fro imagery, it emphasizes God's constant, active awareness rather than a distant observation. This verse underscores that all human actions are lived before a God that sees fully and judges fairly. Psalms 33, verse 18. Psalms 33, verse 18. states in Psalms 33, verse 18, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy." Psalm 33, verse 18, goes beyond the idea that God merely sees everything by emphasizing that his watching is engaged and rational. While Scripture affirms that God's eyes are everywhere, this verse narrows the focus to those who fear him, showing that his gaze is not just a passive or neutral observation, but attentive care. God watches in order to act, in order to protect, in order to sustain, and respond in steadfast love to those who place their hope in him, revealing that his awareness is inseparable from involvement. So the phrase to and fro reveals three powerful and contrasting biblical themes: human restlessness, Satan's roaming, and God's attentive watchfulness. Scripture portrays humanity running to and fro in search of knowledge and truth, but with different outcomes. In Daniel 12:4, people pursue the understanding of prophecy, reflecting human curiosity and diligent seeking, much like the quest for information we see today that is often without clarity, often without truth. In Amos 8:12, people wander desperately searching God's word, only to find it gone. It's been withdrawn, and shows the emptiness of being apart from him. These passages highlight that seeking knowledge can be noble, but without God's guidance, restless searching ideas lead to confusion and despair. In contrast, Satan's to and fro in Job reflects a restless probing search, not for truth, but for grounds to accuse and test, all under God's sovereign control, revealing that his power is limited, despite the relentless scrutiny. Meanwhile, God's eyes move to and fro with deliberate purpose, seeking and engaging with those whose hearts are devoted to him, noticing those small acts of faith and providing strength and guidance. The clear takeaway is that we're not meant to live unsettled and restless lives by endless searching or caught up with every new voice, but to trust in God's purposeful watchfulness and his steadfast care. With this in mind, we are to be grounded seekers, asking, seeking, knocking, moving forward with life's journey, with trust in God rather than wandering aimlessly without direction. We do not live by the latest conspiracy theory or the latest prophetic speculation. While the world runs to and fro in noise and distraction, believers, us, the family of God, can rest assured that God sees, that God knows, and God will actively work on behalf of those who trust him and place their hope in his love. Here are the three takeaways from the themes of human searching that I would like us to consider today. First, let calm replace the need to always move. Human searching, like in Daniel 12:4, Amos 8:12, becomes restless, becomes desperate, by intentionally pausing and embracing the Sabbath, as we heard in the first message, by going through Scripture, by praying to God, by communicating to God, by reflecting, watching the sunset, taking a walk on the beach, we will shift from the frenetic running to and fro towards purposeful seeking, that listens for God, that can hear God, resisting the pull of endless curiosity and the chaos that society today is trying to exploit from each and every one of us. Remember Psalms 46, verse 10, where it states, "Be still and know that I am God." Second takeaway, evaluate information through spiritual discernment, not urgency. Satan roams to and fro, seeking opportunities to deceive, confuse. While humans often follow trends or ideas, conspiracy theories, and the like without discernment, by filtering what we take in through the lens of God's truth, we respond with wisdom rather than fear or knee-jerk reactions, recognizing that the ultimate understanding and guidance comes from God, not from frantic searching or external pressures. And also, number three, remain faithful in small unseen acts, trusting God's watchfulness. Unlike human restlessness or Satan's roaming presence, God's eyes move to and fro with purpose, noticing those who seek him. Even small hidden acts of kindness, even small acts of faithfulness are significant to God, assuring us that humble faith matters more than frantic or performative effort. In a world that constantly pulls to and fro with endless information and shifting ideas and restless searching, it's easy to rely on our own understanding or chase answers in every direction. Scripture reminds us that the enemy roams to and fro over the earth looking for opportunity and looking for unrest to destabilize us. But God's eyes are not wandering aimlessly. He's actively watching, scanning the earth, ready to strengthen those hearts who turn to him. And rather than being tossed to and fro by uncertainty or overwhelmed by the flood of knowledge around us, by the fear of what the future can hold with all the technology changes that we are experiencing, we are invited to simply place our trust in God, leaning not to our own insight and recognizing him, recognizing God and Jesus Christ, our brother, in every step we take, and confident that he will guide our paths. With that in mind, let's conclude with Proverbs 3:5-6 from the English Standard Version. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Have a great remainder of the Sabbath.